The title of the message this morning is My Strength is the Lord. And I certainly hope that we all believe and feel the same way about that, that the strength for life, the strength for the goodness of life, the strength of life, the blessing of life comes from the Lord. We're going to turn to our text in Psalm 37 and start reading in verse 39. Read verses 39 and 40. It says, "But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord." It doesn't say that the righteous have salvation, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. Why am I righteous? The Lord isn't just saving those who are righteous, because the Bible declares to us there's none righteous, no, not one, but in salvation we are made righteous. So, when I was saved by God's grace, the righteousness of Jesus Christ was put to my account. And so I am righteous because of salvation, and my salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is their strength in the time of trouble. When we have troubles in life, who do we look to? What do we look to? Many times I think we're trying to deliver ourselves rather than relying on the Lord and His power, depending on the Lord. You know, if you're drowning, you need to swim. But you need to swim and pray. Right? Don't just sit out there and say, "Oh Lord, I'm drowning." Start swimming and praying. All right? But our strength to carry on and deliverance ultimately comes from the Lord. He is our strength in the time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them. Ultimately, we will have deliverance from all wickedness in this world, from the wickedness that is even in our own bodies, in our own minds. We're going to be resurrected in that glorified body, that sinless body that has no more sin nature. That in itself, I think, is just a great blessing, a great thought for us to think about. We battle the old flesh on a daily basis, the fleshly thoughts, the fleshly desires. We battle those as children of God. There's coming a day when there's not going to be a battle inside of us anymore. Won't that be wonderful? We'll just feel the right way. We'll think the right things. And we won't have to question our motives. We won't have to question our feelings. There'll be no more question about what's right and wrong, because we're going to just think and do the right thing. Won't that be a wonderful day? And then the wickedness is in the world. There are many things in this world that are going on that are wicked or against God's word, against God's will. There's not going to be any wickedness. We're going to be delivered from the wickedness, from the curse of sin. Even on this earth, we had I'm not supposed to say this. And I forgot until just now. Sister Sandra said, we hadn't had an earthquake in a long time. Then you got up and mentioned the word earthquake, and we had one the very same night. Yeah. But I was going to say, we had an earthquake this morning. It wasn't a big one, but I felt it. Woke me up. You know, the Bible talks about the groaning and travailing of the earth, waiting for that day of redemption. The day when the heavens and the earth will be purged from all sin. There's an ultimate deliverance from wickedness, salvation from evil, salvation from sin. And why? Because they trust in Him. Have you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior? Being a child of God brings all kinds of blessings to your life. God provides blessings. He provides soundness, strength, in every area of life. We're a triune being made in the image of God. We believe that God is a triune being. And we also, in made in His image, are a triune being. There are three parts to us. Our mind, our soul, our spirit man, and our body. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We have three parts to us. And all of those parts have an effect on the other. But God doesn't just bless us in the spiritual realm. He can bless us physically. He can give us soundness of mind and spiritual strength. He blesses in all realms of our being. Let's look at Psalm 34 and read verses 1 through 10. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. God deserves to be exalted. I do not. God does. There's good in me. It's because of God. Because of his work in me. It's because of his spirit in me. It's because of his nature in me. It's because of the light of Christ. If there's light reflected, it's the light of Christ that's reflected in me. It's his light, not mine. I have no goodness in and of myself, but only in Christ. So let's magnify the Lord. He's done great things. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Brother Tasso and I talk about our anxieties from time to time. We got this anxiety issue going on. Sister Sharon also has certain anxiety going over those really high bridges. We have that in common. I especially don't like high overpasses. You know, overpass is always a connection. And so, you know, it's not like you could. Brother Ron remembers when he and Wilma graciously took us on a cruise. And we got to the top of this ladder. We got off somewhere, and when he walked off, it was just like in a tunnel, and I had no problem getting off the boat. We went shopping around, and went back on the boat. He had to go up this rickety metal platform several stories, and then I got to the top after clinging onto the guardrail, handrail, and handing off my packages to Brother Ron. I got there, and there was this bridge across that went to the boat. Do you know how high those boats are off the water? So finally I got my courage up. And I marched straight across. Boom. I waited for everybody to get. I didn't want to get stuck in the middle. There were people out in the middle waiting, you know. And so I held up traffic until they were all the way through. So I could just march right across and be on the boat. Anxiety. I was having some anxiety that day. Had some anxiety the other days. I was going to say about those overpasses. They're always on a turn. It's not like you just grip the wheel and just go straight. Oh, no, you have to drive. I hate those things. I'm getting better. But you know what? The Lord can deliver us from all our fears, our anxieties. The remedies for a lot of our mental issues are in the Word of God. If there's anything good, anything praiseworthy, anything positive, meditate on these things. So many times we're meditating on the wrong things. All we can think about is, you know what helped me get you know what helped me get over my fear of going on an airplane? It was retraining the way I thought. And I thought, the chances of being killed in a plane accident are probably astronomically high, similar to winning the lottery. And if I equate dying in a plane crash as to winning the lottery, because, hey, I'm going to be in heaven. Somehow that weird thinking helped alleviate my fear of flying. Well, if I die, I'm just going to win the lottery. Right? So suddenly it became not so anxious, because What does that hope, what is that security all based in? It's based in my faith in Jesus Christ. And if we can bring it back to Him, if we can bring it back to His care, if we can bring it back to His salvation, if we can bring it back to His blessings, we find that we don't have so much to fear. I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. One of the things that helped me in my fears was to simply recite the 23rd Psalm. And usually I didn't get much past, "The Lord is my shepherd." The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I can remember at different times. I think there's that St. Thomas Vincent Bridge or Vincent St. Thomas Bridge or whatever it's called over there in Long Beach. I had a mild panic attack on that one day. What got me to the other side? What was able to keep my hands on the wheel and keep me driving to the other side? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. Dad, be quiet. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. We made it. He delivered me from my fears. Someday we're going to be ultimately delivered from all the fears that we have. Thank God. They looked to Him and were radiant. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out and the Lord heard him. Oh, we can take that all the way back to the day of our salvation, can't we? The day I cried out and the Lord heard. He promised to hear. He promised to never turn away those who would call out to Him in faith for salvation and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him and delivers them. I remember at a very troubling time in my ministry, a fellow minister and friend told me, "Don't be afraid. There'll be angels all around you." It strengthened me. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. The Lord is good. Don't believe it? Taste and see. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Your life will be blessed by trusting in Jesus as your Savior, by following Christ in your life. Your life will be blessed in every aspect. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who fear Him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. God gives all good blessings to us in this life. He gives us material things. The book of Matthew, the 6th chapter, Jesus promised that if we put the kingdom first, all of the needs of life will be added to us. Matthew 6:31, "Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Why do we get worried? Why do we worry so much? Why do we have anxiety over financial issues? You know why? Because usually we're not putting God first. We're not putting His kingdom first. And so we're not really trusting God for these things. One of the blessings of going to the Philippines and ministering there and working with the brethren over there is to see how little they have, but how thankful and happy they are, and they're living by faith. They're living by faith, brethren. They don't have a lot of the things that we have, backup systems here in America. And so we worry and we fret. But the promise is that if we put the kingdom first, these things will be added to us. "All these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Do we trust God for the future? I worry about the future. I have anxieties about the future. I think we all do to some degree. But you know, those worries, those concerns should melt away when we start to meditate on the goodness of God. How many times has God, in your Christian life, proven himself faithful to you? He has many times to me. And I get worried, and sometimes then I'm ashamed because I think God is able. God is able to take care of me. He's able to take care of my future. I don't know what's in the future, but you know what? Many times the things we fear are in the future are not in the future at all because God's hand. Proverbs 3:7, I like this passage of scripture. Do you know that it's good for your health to be a child of God, to be a Christian? It's good for your health. Now that doesn't mean, you might be thinking, yeah, every time I get sick, it's because I came to church and everybody's coming to church sick. how do you know? How can you say it's good for my health? Well, let's read this verse. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. You know how detrimental stress, ongoing stress and anxiety is to your health? It is. It's very detrimental. Make your blood pressure go up. You have all kinds of health problems because of stress. And what does the Lord promise? What did he promise? He promised to relieve our anxieties, right? Following him and walking in the way of the Lord will relieve our fears and our anxieties. I believe the Lord is able to touch our bodies, able to heal our bodies. We had this morning before we got started in the sermon and in the song service, we had a long list of people that we're praying for who are physically ill, right? We must believe that God is a healer of our physical problems and infirmities. Again, we could go back and we can thank God for the healing and the health that we have. You may say, well, my health isn't perfect. Well, no, we're in a unregenerated body, and it's going to have its impact. Sin has had its impact on mankind and on our bodies. So yes, we're eventually going to die. We will get sick. But serving God is good for your life. It's good for your health. If we follow the pattern of God in terms of morality, in terms of temperance, in things that the Bible has taught against, Bible talks about not being lazy, right? Talked about this a little bit in my class this morning about the stewardship of our bodies and how that our bodies should be used for the glory of God. So we don't do things that are negative to our bodies. And you know, we could think about drug abuse or alcohol abuse, those types of things. But hey, sitting on the couch and eating potato chips can be not good for your body, right? Not getting enough exercise. You know, the Bible says, actually, there's a scripture that says, bodily exercise profits little. Now, if you put a certain spin on that, you can just say, well, it's of little value. Or you can say, it is a little bit valuable, but being spiritual is even more valuable. That's what it goes on to say. It doesn't say it's not valuable. It just says in comparison to spiritual things, it's not as of much value. But it is valuable to take a walk, get off the couch, right? It's valuable to exercise the body. It's valuable to eat right. It's valuable to get enough sleep. All of these things will bless our bodies, and these are principles taught to us in the Word of God. God is good for our health. He can heal. He can touch. His principles teach us healthy living. Why? So that we can glorify God in this body. Even as I mentioned, our anxieties and our mental health. You know, a lot of mental health issues go back to the sin nature to a divided heart. 2 Timothy. The Bible has a lot to say about being single-minded. In 2 Timothy, the first chapter, verse 7, the scripture says here, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Sound-mindedness means that you think properly, you think correctly. That's the spirit of God. That's the spirit that God has given us, the spirit of a sound mind. Now, I want to say that I don't believe that every mental problem is rooted necessarily in a spiritual problem. But our whole being works together as one. Spiritual problems can become mental problems and physical problems. We're going to talk more about that this afternoon. But we fit together, and God is able to bless sound-mindedness, soundness of thinking, sound principles for life, life concepts that will bless you and not bring heartache to your life. You know, man is experimenting with a lot of different ideas now. Ideas about family, ideas about child rearing, ideas about marriage. I'm telling you something. Sin does not bring blessing. Obedience to God brings blessing. The tried and the true brings blessing to your life. Healthy bodies, mental health, healthy relationships, happiness. All of these things come from the principles of God's Word, from God Himself. And then spiritual strength comes from God. Let's talk about the spiritual strength. How do we get spiritual strength? It comes from God. But it also comes when we are obedient to God in accepting Christ as our Savior, submitting to baptism and church membership, becoming a committed church member, walking and serving in faith. Ephesians 3, 14. "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." It's all because of Christ. Why? How can you be right with God? How can your life be blessed with the blessings of God? It's in and through Jesus Christ. "That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man." Strengthened in the inner man. I want to have spiritual strength, don't you? I want to be a spiritual, I think of a soldier, the idea of being a physical warrior. Maybe that's more the word I'm looking for. I want to be a warrior, mighty, spiritually speaking. I want my prayers to be effective. But our prayers are not effective if we don't pray. I want my prayers to be effective. I want them to be powerful. Like the book of James talks about the effectual. You know what that word effectual means? It means having the power to produce the desired effect. Are your prayers effectual? Do they have an effect? Do they make a difference? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, is what the scripture says. So how are my prayers effectual? Only if I'm walking in the right way. I'm fervent in my prayer. Not just haphazard, not a second thought. Sometimes that's the way we are praying, right? I hope not, but it can be that we get busy and, forgot to pray over the food. Lord, just in the name, amen. Right. You just say, rattle off that quick prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. There can be power in our prayer. I want to have powerful prayers. I want my prayers to be heard and to be answered by God. We can have those kinds of prayers. That's what the book of James teaches. Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. And he prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain. He prayed that it would rain, and it did rain. That's a powerful prayer, because it was years. It stopped raining for years. And then he prayed that it would rain, and it rained right away. So, that's a powerful prayer. And what is it teaching us? He's no different than us. He's a man of like passions as we are. We can have powerful prayer. How about our zeal? Are we fervent? Do we have zeal for the Lord? Or are we preoccupied with other things in our lives? How zealous are we for the Lord? How zealous are we for lost souls? That's part of the power of our Christian life. Do we have enough zeal, enough concern, enough burden to reach out to others, to share the gospel message with others? What are we doing for the cause of Christ? And do we believe? If we believe and we have zeal, hey, we're going to be busy. I want to be a warrior. I want to be a strong witness. I want to be strengthened with the strength of God in my inner man by the Holy Spirit, as it says here in Ephesians. So, how strong are we in the Lord? How strong is our spiritual strength? How strong is our church service? How powerful is the message? Part of the power of the message that comes from this pulpit, part of the power depends on the spirituality of the body and the commitment of the body, us together. When we're all revived in the Lord, the message is more powerful. It's not all up to my speaking ability. I've been in services where the preacher might not have had that great of a speaking ability, but the power of the Holy Spirit was undeniable. That's the power of God. That's the revitalization of God's people. That's the power of us collectively. We need to be thinking about that as a church. Are we strong in the Lord? Of course, many today are rejecting the Lord. They're rejecting the way of the Lord. For us, as it says in Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Remember, they started to preach, and all the people started to cry, and they ran out among them. It's not time to cry. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You know, if we think about all of our past failures and our sin, it gives us reason to cry. But grace be to God through Jesus Christ, my sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven in Jesus Christ. We have a reason to rejoice. Even though we can look at ourselves and have a reason to cry, we have Christ, we have a reason to rejoice. He is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We find that strength. Part of the fruit of the Spirit is joy, right? So we have this strength. But we must be about the business, about the Lord's work, in the way. Jesus said, well, let's read John 13:17. Therefore, the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter. Excuse me. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Why are a lot of Christians unhappy? Because they know these things, but they're not doing these things. That's why we're not happy. Well, I'm not happy when I'm not thinking and doing and mindful of the Lord enough in my life. When all the cares of life start to crowd the Lord out of my mind and out of my thinking and out of my awareness, that's when I get stressed out. That's when I become unhappy. When I come here on Wednesday, Sunday, when I'm at home and I'm looking at the Word, I sit down at my desk, I break open the bread of life, that's when my mind gets settled. That's when the cares of life become so much less important. That's when the blessing of the communion with God, that's when our lives are blessed. We're blessed in doing, not just knowing. I could get up here and tell you every week what to do. I've been preaching long enough. I can tell you what to do. I can tell you the formulas. I can know what Jesus wants. You know, I'm not saying I know everything. I'm just saying, you know, I could say all these things, but that's not what brings a blessing to my life. The blessing in my life comes when I do these things. That's the point. We have to be obedient. If you're lost and you know how to, I've seen lost people tell other lost people how to get saved. They know the formula, but they haven't received the blessing yet. You need to be saved. Get saved. You need to be baptized. Commit your life. Get baptized. Commit your life. If you're a child of God, you need to get sin out. You're not going to be happy until you get the sin out. We must be followers. We're going to find joy if we're doing what the Lord has commanded us. But disobedience just robs the joy. It strips the joy of God from our hearts. I like this, Proverbs 16:3. And I like it because I can so relate in my own experience in life how true that this is. That many times, you know, I just don't feel. You know, how many of us have said that? I just don't feel like it. There's, you know, just about every day when I get home, probably the majority of days when I get home, I say to myself, I'm not telling Bobby or anybody, I don't feel like going and hanging upside down for 10 minutes or 5 minutes. I don't feel like doing that. And my back's not that bad, you know. But I know that when I do it, I feel better. It's just, I didn't feel like it. But now that I'm done, I'm so glad I did it. I'm so glad. I like this verse because this is kind of what it says to me about our spiritual lives. How many times we don't want to do something. I don't feel moved to talk to my neighbor. Well, maybe you ought to do it anyway. Because then you're going to feel better after. You're going to feel like, hey, that was the right thing to do. 16:3 says, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. I like the order. I think it's in God's order. See, because a lot of times what we got, we're doing it backwards. When I start feeling like it, when I start thinking in such a way that I feel like doing this, then I'm going to do it. But that's not what the scripture says. It says, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will get established. And that's so true. I didn't feel like doing that. I was nervous about that. But you know what? I did it and I was blessed. You see, we're still battling the old flesh. The old flesh is just never going to feel like doing what God wants us to do. Sometimes we just have to push right on through that and do what we know what God wants us to do, and we're going to be blessed. I mean, something as simple as getting up in the morning and saying, I don't really feel like going to church this morning. And you push on through that, and you go, and at the end of the day, you're going, what a blessing I got from the Lord. And your thoughts now are established. That works in many things of our lives. Proverbs 10:29. The way of the Lord is strength for the upright. I'm emphasizing the way of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The way of the Lord is strength for the upright. when are we going to have this strength? As we walk in the way of the Lord, we're going to have strength from God. It's when we get off track. It's when we get derailed. It's when we become rebellious to the way of the Lord. People don't get happier by leaving the Lord. Their lives are consumed. Their lives are destroyed by Satan. But nevertheless, not everyone is seeking the Lord in their lives. I mean, that's obvious, right? That's obvious. It's not always obvious when God's people are not seeking their strength in the Lord. And that can happen to us. So we got to be careful that we trust God, that we believe in God, and that we're committed to the way of God. And in doing, in being faithful and being obedient to God's commands and walking in that way, we're going to find strength for life, blessing for life, material, spiritual, emotional, mental, all realms of life are going to be blessed when we are obedient to God. But there are those who, they don't make God their strength. God is not what they're looking to. I mentioned our society, you know, and many people are relying on the government for their security. They're not worried about the future. They're not worried about life. They're not worried about what they're going to eat because they know ultimately the government will take care of them. Brother Marquez, missionary in Australia, and Australia is very socialistic in their government, he says people don't have to depend on God. It's hard to get converts here. They don't have to depend on God. They're depending on the government. But you know what? Governments fail. Governments fail. We don't depend on the government for our security. We don't depend on our riches. You know, during the Great Depression, people who had amassed great fortunes through the stock market lost all of those things in a day and were jumping out windows, committing suicide because of their losses. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. We know that sin only brings weakness and misery. Ultimately, sin brings death, eternal death, in the lake of fire. We think of that great man, Samson. Think about Samson. How would you like to be Samson? I think every young man would like to be Samson, right? No, especially when I was growing up, because long hair for men was in those days. It was running around ponytails or hair down halfway to their back, you know. And muscle bound. What is this guy? What is this guy? Fabio? What is it? Fabio? I don't know. He's muscle bound, long hair. You know, he's on the covers of romantic novels. I only see that in the drugstore. I don't read them. He's on a few commercials on TV. I just kind of know him. But, you know, everybody would like to be this muscle-bound, strong guy who was not afraid of anything, take on armies of people, no problem, kill thousands with the jawbone of an ass, the Bible says, right? Unbelievably strong. His strength came from God. He won many battles over the enemies of God, but the problem was he didn't seem to love the way of God, did he? He made mistake, bad choice after bad choice, and mistake after mistake, until finally his mistakes, his sin, brought him down. And he was weak. He was no longer that muscle-bound strong man that couldn't be bound. He was weak and powerless. And they were using him like an ox to grind corn. Gouged out his eyes. Cut his hair off. But even Samson finally became willing to give his life to the Lord. And at that point of repentance, his strength came back. He achieved one more, the greatest of all of his victories over the enemies of God. God used him again at the end of his life. But how sad that this man of God was so weakened and brought down because of his sin, because of his rebellious attitude, because he didn't walk in the way of God. Every sinner is going to be brought down. Everyone who rejects Christ as Savior will be brought down, all the way down, to the same pit that Satan, that Lucifer himself, will be cast into one day and eternally burn in torment, in flames, because of the rejection of Jesus Christ as Savior. There's life in the Lord. There's salvation in God. Jesus died for your sins and my sins, the sins of all mankind. Jesus suffered on the cross of Calvary that we might experience His saving grace, that we might experience the joy of God, the goodness of God in every aspect of our lives. If we're not experiencing that, it's only because our hearts have become rebellious and unfaithful in the way of the Lord. If there's a need this morning, I invite you to come. Whatever the need might be, we're going to stand and have a verse of invitational song. If there's a need, won't you come as we sing?